What's so great about? What's so great about?
What's so great about the show where we ask great questions and get great answers? My name is Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Wow, it feels weird saying this on the main feed.
It does, right? Yeah. I like the fact that you've incorporated my little intro blurb there.
I've robbed it and I've combined it with our old one. And
the highest form of praise.
Absolutely, yeah. So here we are now. Entertain us.
Now, if I may, just before we even get into it, you may have noticed our kick-ass new team chair. How good is that, huh? Man. How legit are we, huh?
I'm snapping my fingers.
It was provided by a beloved fan and patron of the show. Neil Murray is his name, a.k.a. The Housewives on YouTube. He's got a YouTube channel where he makes music and videos and stuff like that. But he also plays guitar for Irish artist Terry Robert John Ardiff. Now, that name rings a bell on Garbage Patrol. Did you have a song on there?
I put it on because I know Neil had kind of... Remember he did that little ditty for us on Twitter, the amendment to be.
Yeah.
And he posted something shortly after that when I was following him about how he just finished work on the song Quarantine. And I thought it was a beautiful song. I added it to our playlist.
Super talented. And to be honest, he provided way more than I was expecting.
Yeah. It was, so, he gave us our pick, let me tell you.
Yeah, and he provided us with a couple of songs. You'll hear him again on the Patreon, if you're a patron.
Yeah, if you're not, go to hell.
He's also, I should mention, playing with Robert John Ardiff in Whelan's next Friday, the 19th of November, if anyone's about. So, yeah, there you go. That was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, not so bad.
Okay, great.
We're available if you want us to do...
anything.
Yeah. Andy, it's been 2 weeks since you looked at me. How have you been?
I tell you, now, I thoroughly... I don't know about you, Terry, but I thoroughly enjoy that week off. Some things never change, eh?
It would damage the town if I didn't do this. And I need this beer.
You can still expect plenty of Simpsons references like that throughout the show.
Almost definitely. Since you asked, Andy,
go on.
Since you asked, I'm drinking a Dot Brewery.
I like the can. Very colourful.
Yeah. It is a... Dot Brew, a Sunny Drop IPA.
Okay. Give it a taste.
Smells delightful. Look how good it looks, too.
It looks... Well, it looks like beer, unfortunately. But, you know.
What, now you're recording?
Yeah. I forgot. Good, is it?
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know if I want a drink that makes my face do all those things that yours just did.
Mine,
no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
You look like you got pop rocks in your mouth or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
Now, while we're on the topic of drinks, now I've got plain old water, but Terry, look at this gorgeous container.
Is it a bottle?
Oh, it's a bottle, all right, my friend. I ordered it from AliExpress.
Okay.
All right, so it's all the way from China. Look at this. Look at this digital thing at the top as well, tells you what temperature your water is. And if I may,
15 degrees,
there's a little,
very warm.
There's
isn't
a little,
it?
I thought that too, but it's, but I don't know. But it's cold. It's clearly faulty. And it's got this little mesh thing at the bottom when you're taking a drink. So it's like every drink is kind of like, not a dribble, but something just above. It, you know, it's nice. It doesn't go whoosh.
Okay.
And I've been talking about it ever since I got it. I, for some reason,
sounds insufferable. I'm glad I haven't spoke to you in 2 weeks, to be honest.
So you'll hear a lot of this throughout the pod.
Great for the pod.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, how have you been, Terry, more importantly?
You know what? I have been both... There's been good things and bad things going
good
on.
Good times, bad times. You know, we've had a share.
Too right. And weekend of Halloween.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
Faye was away. She went over to visit her sister from Saturday to Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So it's just me home alone with Bonnie. Just me and Bonnie. Great time for the most part. Great company. Until Sunday night, the devil's night, Halloween, they got me, Andy, the fucking norovirus or whatever that thing was.
Huh?
That vomiting bug that's been going
that
around.
Norovirus?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, I never heard that.
I have not been this unwell in 15 years.
Ooh.
You've
been unwell.
I compare it to... Do you remember when I came back from Thailand?
Yes.
And I'd swallowed a bunch of dirty water in the Mekong River.
Yes, there was the closest you'd come to death at that point.
Yeah, at that point, yeah. And I'd say for about a month after, was not right. I think I had to take 3 weeks off work in Centric. But, I couldn't keep anything down. I had long hair and I was waking up every night. Hair drenched from sweating.
Yeah.
I think I lost about a stone in weight. But it was that kind of, I had to shave all my hair off. It was so bad. Remember that?
I didn't know that was the reason.
I just woke up one morning and I can't keep going on this.
I
went down to the barber and it was 9 o'clock. First person there, 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was kick it all off.
Kick the door open. It's oh, we're just opening up. Shave it.
Four all over, please.
Easy, fella.
Yeah. So it was akin to that sickness that it was literally...
Wow.
I think I had dinner and I kind of felt a bit indigestion-y, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Bonnie kind of... I think she woke up about 11 o'clock. And I was still up at this time. I was getting ready, settling into bed. You know, bad habits. Mm-hmm. Watching the laptop in bed before.
Hey, who are you talking to, man?
Yeah, I know. And it was just as well I had been. Because, I got her back down very quickly. So I was delighted with myself. And then I was lying there. I was I don't really feel right. And then some...
Go on.
Some water came up. You know what
I mean? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then...
Spare no detail, Terry.
And then about... how would you say, half an hour to an hour later, the whole enchilada came up. And I didn't even have enchiladas.
Wow.
But then it was to the point that I was really dehydrated. And then I was drinking more water and the water kept coming up.
Did Bonnie at least sleep through all this?
She slept through all of it. But I was in bits. Didn't sleep all night.
Oh, God.
Aches and pains, chills. And
was that the 1 hour sleep?
Yeah, that was texting you about.
Text me.
I said that was
you looked terrible.
I got a taxi down to the creche with Bonnie. Her there, and then came home to bed, and I just put Seinfeld on in the bed, and just curled up in a ball and didn't even watch it. Just had it on in the background to help me concentrate on how bad I'm feeling, and thankfully,
what a resource it is.
Oh my God, what an age we live in! And it looks fucking great. I hadn't actually watched an episode on Netflix.
Does it look good?
The restoration looks brilliant.
It does look very good. I've gone back now to season 5. Nope.
Season 4. It's
season 6 is way better than I remember. 4 is a little bit too
six
slow.
Six is I think it's at its peak.
I think so, and I never copied it before.
But it's that. The black mark it gets is that finale episode.
I know, yeah.
But up until that point, you're like, oof, oof,
but
oof.
I tell you what, it's the first...
We're going to the Hamptons. Okay, we're going to the Hamptons, sure.
You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts.
But this is the first time watching it that I've actually noticed the dip of season 9.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, I always classed, yeah, season 8 and 9 are kind of a bit wackier, but, like, they're still gold. And they are gold. But, like, there's a definite difference in quality between 8 and 9.
Yeah, you know, oh, yeah, yeah.
And I, like, never really noticed it before.
And 9, there are, like, really, really good episodes. But, like, there's also ones that are, you're like, okay.
Yeah, you there's know, a few like, where you're just like, oh, it's this episode? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't really like this one. But then it's something like The Voice or The Dealership or something like that. You're like...
You know what it is? In seasons, like, I say even 1. Yeah, like, those are classics. But, like, from season 1 to even 8, all the jokes kind of go somewhere or serve a purpose. Yeah. Season 9, there's a lot of just out there, like, George especially, just very un-George-like almost, saying, like... You know, just going down this weird tangent, then they just sort of look at each other and say, anyway, you know, like, there's way more of that.
Yeah, and I always think of Jason Alexander on the commentary for The Dealership. He's like, what am I doing here? I am on another planet. What is going on? You know, like, he's... but
it's such a difference.
The pluses to what I... You know, Andy, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. I'm in love.
Yeah.
I'm in love.
Go on.
With a computer game. A computer game, Andy.
Go on.
I'm stuck into the Zelda Breath of the Wild, my friend.
Switch. On the old switcheroo.
I think you'd love it as well. I think you would absolutely. It's because it's very Red Dead Redemption-y.
Ooh.
Like, it's just all open world. I do
like that. I find I don't really enjoy structured games as much these days. Do you know what I mean? Like, where it's like you have to go from one place to the other. You know what I mean? Like I know
this game is like, I've completed 3 or 4 little quests that are on your main quest. The next thing is there's 4 places I have to go. You have to like meet these 4 warriors or something like that. And I haven't even gotten close to getting to them because I've just been like exploring the area. Because... Yeah. The way it works is, like, if you find a tower, you unlock a piece of a map. So you're just, like, riding around on your horse, like, oh, there's a tower. Like, I'll just go here and try and unlock this piece. But then, inevitably, there's some fucking giant monster. You're like, oh, Jesus!
What are the graphics like in it?
Great. Oh, okay. Really, really good. Like, it's just...
Do you play much handheld, or do you play...
I don't play handheld at all, unless...
Even in the bathroom?
Nah, it's more of a, like, phase going to bed. Okay, time to boot up the Switch.
Right.
It could be, like, when I was playing, before I got Breath of the Wild.
You should bring it with you. Play on the dart.
I'd lose it. I know I would lose it. I know I would. It's precious to me, Andy.
Yeah, you don't want to take it outside those 4 walls. Yeah,
no. No, but that's, like, I've been watching a shitload of stuff, but the list is too long.
I meant to, we will get to them all in good time, I'm sure. Yeah.
But Patreon.
I was gonna say when you were talking about Seinfeld, I noticed Seinfeld was trending during the week, and it was like in a negative light, of course. It's like
I know what you're talking about. This guy about cynicism or whatever.
But I seen a few things. Like, I seen one retweet about it first, and I was like, oh, that's a weird take. And everyone in the replies also had very bad takes. But then I seen it was trending a few days later. And it was more just like, I guess since it's been on Netflix, people are seeing it for the first time. And it's like, I don't even know what the issue was. It was, I don't know, they're bad people. Or it's, you know, they're this, they're that. But it's like... I was at a loss for this.
They're not real people, though. That's the whole thing.
That's the joke.
Like. Yeah, that's it. Like, that's in my corner of Twitter, like, that retweet was like, I couldn't make it past the first episode or whatever. Like, every reply was like just ripping it to shreds.
Yeah.
They were like, what the fuck is, you know, what is this? Or then it was like, somebody would like replace Seinfeld with like Peppa Pig, the first episode of Peppa. I couldn't make it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing where it's like, this is how stupid an argument it is. That like,
I just don't get it.
No,
I don't get it, Terry.
But it was the same. People were like, we're friends. It was like, oh, fat shaming. Monica was fat shaming. It's like, I mean, not everything has to be.
They have to pick everything apart.
Like, you know. And you might call me a bit of a hypocrite when I'm saying when I've been talking about the Dave Chappelle thing recently and something like that. But like, I think one is a lot more serious and yeah, an issue than the other one. You know,
it's all about context of, yeah. of the joke. You know what I mean? But even Friends and Seinfeld, like the tamest fucking
that's it,
mainstream, like. Biggest shows in the world at the time, like you're seriously gonna like whatever, like something that might have been fine whatever 21 years ago that like, you're gonna say, well, that's not all right now. Well, like, well, it wasn't made now.
The longest running live action TV show in history is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Is it?
Yes. Brilliant. They've become the longest running one now, live action.
Talk about people.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, you know, they always
straight up criminals.
Always described it as Seinfeld on crack, and like
that's yeah, pretty much it. That's actually, it. Like, yeah.
you know,
I never even thought of that, but yeah.
Like, so, like, you know, why is? I don't know. People just like to
shit on things. They like to,
I guess so. It's,
especially on Twitter. It's like it's a game of who's more outraged, who can find something.
Yeah.
I tell you what, on a more wholesome note that I was watching, Terry, very mm-hmm. quickly, The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that what you think of it?
I mean, I loved it as a kid, and I went back there.
When did you go back?
When Disney.
Now, you see, I'm surprised to hear that, because I went back and I thought it was even better than I remembered it.
Really?
I was like, geez, they really let this movie breathe, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't, you know... It's just,
I know.
I had a warm feeling watching it from start to finish. I bloody loved it. And maybe it was because I was catching Joni's attention. She was sitting to watch it as well. But like,
I'd say that would work better.
You know, yeah. It just, because I remember loving it so much as a kid. But it really, it held up for me. Like, it was funny, you know.
Who's the adult in that?
Dennis, your man, what's his name? Life is very short and there's no
Dennis
time.
Leary.
Dennis Leary, yeah.
While here's handicapped the dad. People make handicapped faces, I'm an asshole.
Oh yeah, remember that?
I loved that No Cure for Cancer when I was younger. I think if I watched it now, I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah, and it was a weird choice. It was a weird choice that he... Yeah, that was him the whole time.
Okay.
Right. It was a weird choice for him to be like the good stepdad, you know, because he just seemed so sinister the whole time.
I mean, his best role is Loaded Weapon 1.
Of course. Now, can I hit you with one more thing before we start? I did a little secret driving test last week. And guess what, Terry? I passed. Finally.
Well done.
Fifth time of asking.
Fifth time's a charm. One, two, and three, I tell four, you, five
now,
time.
Now, technically, Terry, technically, I've only taken the test twice before this. Didn't make it. One, got the day wrong another time. The light was out the other time. Fair enough. But this is the fifth time now that I've had to prepare mentally and all this practice and all this stuff for a driving test. And I actually thought I did the worst on this one. And I tell you what, I told nobody. And it was such a huge difference, the fact that I didn't have to have the prospect of going back to people like, no, didn't do it.
Did you tell Kerry?
Yeah, Kerry, obviously. But yeah. But everyone else, I just booked,
just going like, out just for booked a few the day hours. Off.
So that was a huge help. And like, of course, like I made such a fucking idiot myself as well. I can't believe that I passed. First of all, because of COVID now, they have to I went in, they told me to go back to my car and I'm going to get a call in a few minutes. They'll be out to me or whatever. And I was like, okay, grand.
Mid-story sip, yeah.
How indulgent.
Self-indulgent. Like,
and so they called in, and it was like he was asking all the questions, like, have you had any symptoms of blah, blah, blah. I was like, no. And he was like, has your accompanying driver had any symptoms? And I was like, there's like a pause. I was like, well, I don't know yet. Forgetting that I'm supposed to have an I thought he was talking about him or something. Yeah. Like, you know, but I was like, you're still in there, mate. So I was like, oh, yeah, they were here, but they're gone now. Yeah. And then as soon as we pulled out of the test center, I was like, okay, there's a car coming. I'll let that pass. Great. And then the car passed, and then I went after right up on the curb. I was like, well, I failed already, so I'll just get the rest of this test over with.
Faye said to me, because she, I think it was her second or her third time that she passed.
Not very good.
She said it was the assessor made such a difference. And like,
Yeah.
Literally, she was like, the guy got in, he was like, "Now I'm not like one of these robots like the rest of them." And she was like, she was immediately put at ease. Like, and he was apparently very sound and stuff like that. Like,
that's the thing. My guy was very sound this time. He was my age. He had a big bushy beard, like sort of shaved head, and he said I was close to fail, and he said on my speed because I was technically over the limit on a few different spots. And he's like, and if I got 3 marks for speed, he said if you'd have got 4, you'd have failed. And he said, and you were in a 40 zone there, he said, and you were just about on the line. Basically kind of saying a less sound guy could have failed. So just
seatbelt twist.
Half
a point.
Minus a
point for you.
So yes, very, very happy with that. So that's a bit of news I'd like to share.
I guess maybe we should actually get into the show proper and talk about I guess, you know, if you're new, if you're not on the Patreon and you're still sticking around in the feed, we do what we've been doing, What's So Great About, on the Patreon feed, where we take a topic and kind of see, you know, dissect it and see what makes it good, bad, whatever. Like, we started off with Marvel and the hated.
I was asking what's so great about Marvel, and Terry was telling me what's so great about it.
Yeah. So we did like 90s action movies. That one was just a bit more of a lark for Andy,
That was both of us telling everyone what they already knew.
And then I was telling Andy what was so great about Ryan Gosling. You know, I think it was a happy medium with that one.
Yeah, it wasn't quite around as, in the end. Blade Runner was a real turning point. Also,
La La Land was the one, man. Though, like,
I did like it way more than I thought I was going to. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
So we've just finished Big Will's Flops.
Big Willie's Flops. Yeah,
yeah. Is Will Smith okay? It's a question I have.
I've been watching his YouTube series. Best Shape of My Life.
Is he okay?
He's better than okay. Well, I'm only on episode 4.
He's doing that. No, but I mean, he's doing that. He's doing like a National Geographic travel log series.
Yeah, but his book is out as well. Yeah. Will, the book. And I'm going to be signing back up to Audible to get it. Let me tell you that. He's narrated by the man. Of course, it's narrated by him. And then I'm going to quickly unsubscribe again. But very excited about that. Big stuff.
Yeah, I don't think he is okay.
Richard looks amazing.
Yeah, I don't think so. It looks okay. But I don't think he's okay. If he's doing all this weird, these weird projects, it makes me think, is he not bankable as a movie star anymore?
Let me tell you, Terry, the best shape of my life.
Last 10 years, I would say no.
I'd say King Richard, whatever it's called, is going to be a big hit.
Doubt it. But also, a middling Oscar play that will not get him a nomination. That's my prediction.
Care to put some money on it?
That he won't get nominated? Yet.
No, your eyes lit up way
20,
too much.
20 quid.
Where's your poker face? No way. No chance.
Two points.
Okay.
2 points.
2 points. Yeah. 2 pints of milk.
No, of beer, Andy. Oh, you silly, silly man.
But in this Best Shape of My Life, he's sort of going, it was supposed to be like a lighthearted, like, because remember he posted on Instagram, he's like, I'm going to be real with y'all, I'm in the worst shape of my life. And it was a picture of him.
Don't follow him on Instagram.
Oh, well, that was hilarious. But I saw
the trailer and I was like, wow, he doesn't look great, like, in terms of...
But he's kind of breaking down then, and he was giving up and he was giving out and getting... And then he was basically saying the Will Smith that everyone knows is basically like a fabrication and all this sort of stuff.
I saw that on the thing. I think he's playing all y'all asses in that leg.
Very possibly.
Yeah, he's using... It's all acting, Andy.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you're never going to know the real Will Smith. Real Will Smith is a stone-cold killer.
Oh, well, it's brilliant anyway. I'm very...
Never mind.
Never mind.
So this series, this mini series, our first one on the main feed, our maiden main feed series, is me and Andy have been talking about, you know, why does everybody keep Netflix? I've had friends say, oh, I unsubscribe to Amazon, Disney, whatever. I got rid of my Sky, but I kept my Netflix. That's always the
mainstay, yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's because it's the first one or whatever, but... We said we were going to maybe dig in a little bit and pick 12, six each, movies, original Netflix movies, and see what's so great about them. You know, so Andy had a dealer's choice first time, and he has picked a look. I'm excited to do mine for me, but I'm also excited to dig in with your ones because you picked some
interesting choices.
Yeah.
At least I'm watching movies. I tell you what, folks. At least I'm watching movies that I really want to watch.
That Will Smith one was a rough ride.
Will Smith was rough. Half of the Ryan Gosling series was very rough. Phase one of Marvel was rough. You know, so
you can barely remember the roughness of Marvel, though. Let's be honest.
No, I remember the first few in particular were very rough.
You're mad. If you went back and watched Iron Man, you'd be like, "It's a fucking deadly movie." What was I talking about?
You were a bit colder on it than you remember, though, weren't you?
I still think it's a good Marvel. I think it ended up being ranked somewhere in my mid Marvels, like, you know.
Yeah,
it's a very good start. Like, you're doing your first one.
Now listen, Terry, I've got some notes about this movie that I've picked. Ooh. Now I'll tell you why I picked this movie, folks. And someone in work who follows the podcast was like, "I seen your thing there about the Netflix." I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Haven't heard any of them."
Your feed.
They're right there. Yeah. Now I will say this, Terry, and I notice I keep saying now, but now I will. I'm possibly interested in a trade, not a trade, as in one of your picks. But I noticed there's a certain movie that's been released this week on Netflix that I may want to throw in there.
Passing?
My man, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Fuck you. Well, you can put it in if you want. It's
supposed to be bad, is it?
It's supposed to be awful. And I looked at that trailer. Insufferable.
Really? Insufferable. Okay, you know what? Fine. I just heard it was coming out.
But did you watch Hobbs and Shaw? Did you make it through?
No, I didn't.
It's because Ryan Reynolds is in Hobbs and Shaw. And it's like, obviously they met on Hobbs and Shaw. He's just improvising in the scenes with The Rock.
I remember that.
Insufferable in the movie. And if it was 2 hours worth or whatever of this... fucking red notice.
I'm gonna have to have a look.
Suck a dick.
Okay. Well, you know what? Strong words, Terry. I won't take those words lightly.
I like your list the way it is.
Okay.
And the schedule is out there. Like,
the schedule's set.
Yeah, there's some coming out that I'm like, man, if I had waited. Like I watched one there, a Netflix original movie called The Harder They Fall. It's a Western with an all-black cast, and it's fucking deadly. And I'm like, man, I should have put that in my list.
Hey, we can...
Gave it four stars in Letterboxd before you
asked. Okay. That was my next question.
Big Driss is in it.
I seen the ad, actually, for that.
It's really good. Really good. Might be a bit long for your tastes.
How long?
220, I'm thinking.
That's way too long for my tastes.
But it's really good. Like, the cast is like... The guy that was in Loki... playing
now, Kang. You're sneaking another movie in here, Terry.
I'm just saying, it's good.
Okay, well,
and
you know what?
It's stylish.
Oh, I did see that ad, and you know what? I'll tell you something. What I thought when I seen this ad, I actually made a comment to Kerry. I said this movie is trying too hard to be cool.
I could be wrong.
You know, maybe I was just in a curmudgeon mood, and on another day I'd be like, "Fuck yeah!" You know, so I don't know.
I had a blast. I had a blast watching.
Okay. Now, get into the tall grass.
Yes,
Terry. I picked this movie because it looked like it was right up my street. They're stuck in a bunch of grass. Nothing's what it seems. They think they're getting out. There's loops going on. Things aren't what they seem. Brilliant. Loved the concept. Right. So, a bit of backstory about this. It was originally a novella written by Stephen King and Joe Hill. Joe Hill is actually Stephen King's son.
Oh,
he's just going by a different name. So he's not tarred with the Stephen King thing. It was directed by Vincenzo Natali.
Now, Andy, I wanted to talk to you about this. I noticed this.
Okay.
Vincenzo Natali. When you told me about this one and I watched the trailer, I was like, this is giving me big Cube vibes. Do you ever see Cube?
I don't think so.
It's a bunch of people stuck in a cube, and it's like,
oh, I'd love that.
It's fucking deadly. Like, so you're in a cube room, and you can go like left, right, up or down. But if you go the wrong way, there's like traps, and it's like a bunch of different people in different cubes. So they all it's fucking deadly. But it's directed by Vincenzo Natali.
Oh,
and it was like 97. I don't know, but I think we should do it on the Patreon or something. Like, I think it's
right up my alley. I love shit like that.
Do a commentary on it or something. It's really good. I mean, they made sequels like Cube 2, Hypercube. but this guy, Vincenzo Natali, like...
It's kind of his calling card, is it, that sort of stuff?
No, I think these are the only two. I mean, he directed another movie that you're a fan of.
What?
If you remember, starring Adrian Brody. A little movie called Splice.
The one where the alien...
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely awful movie. That's terrible.
It's a deadly movie.
No, he isn't terrible.
So good. I love that scene where he has sex with his little alien.
The alien more has sex with him.
When he has sex and then the wife comes in, he's like, huh. But it's like...
Listen to us, like... That's enough right there.
Great, like...
All right. Natali says that it's rare that independent filmmakers get the green light to make a horror movie with a budget of over $5 million. Ooh. He so was trying to get the...
I'm yet to guess the budget, Andy, so...
Shit. Sorry.
Well, I know it's over five. Look,
I don't know. I couldn't actually find what it was. He was trying to get it to less than five.
He wanted it under five. Well,
I think so, because like this was a quote. Now tell me if I'm misunderstanding this. He said it's very difficult to get a green light to make a horror movie with a budget of over $5 million. Don't ask me why. It's truly an arbitrary figure. He says, explaining that he couldn't get the price tag below that $5 million figure. Partly because of Stephen King's fee and partly because of the nature of the film, which is deceptively complex.
Hmm.
But I think there's a miss. Something doesn't add up there.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let me see. Because you're right, it doesn't really come up easily. But...
I'd say 5 million sounds about right.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have thought a bit more, maybe. Let me see. I would have actually said like between 10 and
15.
Yeah.
I could see that too.
Full financials. Here we go. No, nothing.
Here we go.
Summary.
No sighting.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm looking here.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
Very, very sparse. Fucking I'm going to keep going
fucking
with
Netflix, huh?
I know. It took them a long time. It took them a long time to get it made, but it was when. Basically, every 10 years, they said Stephen King's stuff comes back into fashion, and they
last
make a 10 whole
years,
bunch.
Last 10 years has been a good lot. Like
there was It and It 2, Pet Sematary, and
Gerald's Game.
Yeah, so all these. Shintaro Kago was the concept art designer for the film. He's a manga artist, which is interesting. Didn't see a lot of mangas. You know,
couple of times I think there was that kind of. I was like, "Ooh, this is interesting looking." You know what I mean?
Yeah. How about this? The church that took place outside the tall grass was constructed for the film.
Huh.
It was huge.
I liked it. I liked. You know what? I will say. I think it was filmed very well. Bar a couple of times where it looked a little bit wonky, I thought it looked great. Even if it was just the shots of off the road onto the
the
field or whatever that like. But yeah.
Should we just get into it, Terry?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So, do you want to just hit me with some notes? Do you want to just chat about the movie?
I'm going to tell you what I thought about it first.
Okay, great.
And I will say, we're off to a winner.
Oh,
at the first step for me anyway. I had a blast watching this. I had so much fun. I was like, I watched it during the day, and I was even like being like, oh shit, like, oh no, you know, like that kind of like when things start happening, you're like, oh. For the most part, there's maybe like a lot more pluses than minuses.
I think I know exactly what you're going to say. There's about maybe a 20 to 25 minute spell where you're like, okay. But apart from that, for me, it was...
But it was always interesting.
Yes.
I will say that. Like, the film is always, always interesting. I loved the whole... The setup that, like, straight away, I was like, what's going on with these two?
Yeah.
The brother and sister thing. And they brought... I'm like, they're weird. Their dynamic is weird. Right? Yeah. And the fact that
couple dynamic, but yeah. they're brother and sister.
And they reference it later on in the movie as well, which I didn't think they were going to, which is great. I love the touch of the empty church having a bunch of cars parked outside and, like, nobody realising.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this...
You assume they're just in the church or something. Yeah. Like, you know,
and then you're like... So like straight away I was like, oh, okay, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be at all.
What did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be more like Cube, where it would be like, you know, you can go this way or that way, and there's going to be something in the grass trying to chase you and kill you, or whatever, like a monster or something in there.
Right.
Whereas, you know, straight away you're like, time is really weird, and you know, it's you know, like, they're split up, the whole freaky thing where it's like they jump up and it's like, oh, they can see each other, and then it's like they jump again. He's gone. So I definitely
love shit like that.
I thought your one, the pregnant woman, was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the brother was okay.
He was fine.
He became more believable as the movie went on.
Yeah.
The one person I thought who was miscast was the boyfriend.
Yeah. Travis.
And I love the idea of it.
I love the idea that he came in.
Man, when the first night happens and they're going for ages, and what's his name? The brother meets the Tobin.
Yeah.
And Tobin.
Freaky kid.
Tobin, like, shows him the rock. They find the rock, and Tobin touches the rock. And meanwhile, the sister meets my man, Patrick Wilson.
Oh, I was thinking, now let me tell you.
I fucking love Patrick Wilson.
I knew that you had someone... Oh, there's that fucking doll again. I knew that you had someone in this movie that... I was like, Terry said someone is his... It's still got my man, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, who was it? And then as soon as I seen that guy, I was like, oh, of course he's talking about this guy. He is great.
He's so fucking good. He's the best. He's the highest paid actor.
Yeah, definitely. That was originally going to be played by James Marsden.
But he had
to do Sonic. He opted to do Sonic instead.
He did pretty well to do Sonic. Yeah. I don't know if it would work as much with James Marsden. I'm a big fan of James Marsden.
Yeah.
But there's something about Patrick Wilson with the mustache, the pencil mustache, giving off big sleazy dad energy.
And he's just about keeping it together. The first interaction when he sees your one. You're immediately trying to suss him. Like, who is this guy? What's his... Like, where did he come from?
My whole thing was grass? This is the grass. This is the monster in the grass taking the form of a human. You know what I mean? Because the little voice that it was like, Tobin, you know, Tobin's calling to somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like... I was like, it's not Tobin, though. That's the grass calling them in. That was my whole thought process. And this... I was like, there is no dad, there is no mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just fabrications or whatever. And,
yeah.
Ah.
But it turned out to be he's just deranged, you
basically.
Know? Yeah.
I have to say, I loved the way this movie just started straight away.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 2 minutes into the movie, they're in the grass already, you know what I mean? It's not like waiting 20 minutes of backstory. You know, you're just getting straight in there. And I tell you what, I mean, obviously the kid is dodgy, but... when you're hearing the kid's voice, because
first
like,
time, yeah.
Yeah, because you would think like, oh shit, like we are going to have to go in and help this kid. But as soon as he said, I've been here for days, then you'd be like, hang on. You'd be like, hang on a sec.
But even then, the mom was like, why you don't call people? And I know the mom doesn't get an awful lot of screen time in it, but like at the start, she was like, Tobin, don't call people in or whatever. Like, why are you calling? That's when I was like, that doesn't seem right. And then like,
I tell you, by the first night, by the fact that it got to night time, like, I'd be losing it.
I was thinking,
what
that.
The fuck is going on? We've been here 6 hours.
I would have just stopped and been like rocking back and forth, like,
yeah,
like, okay, fine, I'm gonna die here. I'm keep
they were
up.
So casual. It was like the next scene, it's like night time. I'm like, I'd be freaking the fuck out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that whole thing where like you kind of like Patrick Wilson sets the tone for his performance, where he's like, "Oh, the dad not in the picture,"
yeah,
and she's like, "No," he's like, "You know, he wasn't ready for it or something," and he's like, "Well, too bad for him." You know, family's the bit. You're like, okay, like as well, like that's kind of like, why is he so?
It's rude to ask, is the dad not in the picture anyway?
Even when he's like, well, too bad for him. And I was like, there's something off about that statement.
Yes.
Saying that to a pregnant woman or whatever like that. Like, you know, there's something not right about it. Like,
there was so...
It's not even like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
too bad for him.
Yeah, he's missing out, huh? You know, you're like, okay. Yeah. Like, what? Are you okay?
That followed by the fact that he then leaves... And she's calling him, clearly within earshot, and he's just gone. I'm like, oh, okay, well, straight away, I'm just turning back then. I'm not going to go follow, look for you. I'm just going to go back, strange man.
And when it cuts to the next morning, and it's somebody else in the car, I audibly was like, deadly. Like, I said that out loud, sitting here alone watching it. I was like, oh, deadly. Like I was like, oh, who's the next people that are going to get dragged in?
Yeah, it's not because I thought it was going to be just them.
Yeah, and then it turns out it's Travis, the father of your woman's baby. Mm-hmm. This guy who plays him, he's too weird looking. Like he's like you haven't watched Upgrade yet, have you?
No.
So like Upgrade, he plays like this weird like tech billionaire guy who's like white blonde hair and has these weird affectations, and I was like, that goes with his face, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
this time like he like I
it didn't call for a character like that.
Yeah, like it was, you know, they have him like twisting the grass to like signpost it, and I was like, oh, like he's like a kind of outdoorsy guy, but I don't really buy it off this actor.
I love that the way the grass untied itself.
Yeah, but like, I was like that. This is a minor thing, like, because I think he was okay, but I was like, I think they missed out on like, I don't know, somebody else a little bit more
interesting,
but also like they kept saying he was like a musician.
Yeah,
and I didn't really, he didn't really seem like. Musician. It didn't really seem he was neither fish nor fowl in this. Like, I didn't think he was the outdoorsy kind, and I didn't see him as like a guitarist in a band. You know, I just kind of saw him as like maybe the guy that like worked in the general store and never did anything.
Yeah. I got band vibes off him, I will say.
Did you?
But I didn't even pick up on any outdoor. I thought it was just a smart move to tie the grass. I didn't think any more of that. But like,
what it should have been. That's what it should have been. You know what I mean?
I thought he was too, for want of a better word, small time.
Mm.
Even though I hadn't seen any of these people before apart from my man.
Pat Wilson.
But, yes, who I can't remember his name. Yeah. But everyone else like gave a good performance. He was a little bit too hammy.
How did he get your one? That's the other question. You know what I mean? Like,
how do they all get them?
No, but I mean, like, you
he's
know,
a
make
musician.
It, make it a little bit believable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was a shame because he got a lot of airtime and he was kind of annoying to look at and listen to.
He becomes the de facto character for a long spell of it, like
pretty much becomes the protagonist. Like,
yeah, like when, because like what happens is he meets Tobin, and Tobin is like, "You don't remember me?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, you guys?"
Yeah, just that's the shit. That's the shit that I love. And then he's there, like, load of shit happens to the brother and sister on day one, but when he gets in, they're just back in.
They're fresh. Not even there when he gets in.
Yeah.
Till the next day.
He's already in. And then so he's like, oh, you've been gone 2 months. And they're like, huh? And all this sort of stuff. So I thought that was excellent. Because when he looked in the car and it was all like dusty, muddy, and there was maggots inside. And I was like, oh, they're only in there at night. Like, what's going on?
And I do like it, but I kind of needed a bit more rules. You know, there was no...
That's what I love about it.
Yeah, but I don't need a movie to spoon-feed me the answers all the time. But when it's something as kind of convoluted and complex as this, I need a little bit of something. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Some sort of structure here.
Just, yeah, a couple of lines that could be written in to be like...
If we do this, that happens.
Like, when you touch the rock, maybe you realize what... Like, why is time looping around? Like, there's no rhyme or reason for that. I understand.
The grass is messing with them.
Yeah, I understand.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, I know. But And I like that. I do like it. I just needed maybe a little bit more. A little tiny bit more.
You wanted to know where you stood a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I had a great time with it. That was the thing that I was thinking. I was like, okay. You know.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of it, it's like a video game or a choose-your-own-adventure thing where it's like, you've made every choice. And, like, your man, the brother, is dead, like, 10 times. There's 10 different versions of him.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Like, Travis finds his pregnant girlfriend dead.
Yeah.
And then she shows up. Like, I thought it was a very interesting scene where Travis, like, the girlfriend, the brother, and Tobin are all together. You're like, oh, the four of them are together.
Yeah.
And the dog is dead. And then the dog is back alive in a little while longer. You're like,
And I'll tell you what else, Terry. The moment that got a yes, man, for me as well, was when she got the phone call from herself warning her not to let such and such, or Travis, or whatever it was. I was like, ooh. There was a few moments like that, it scratched me right where I itched, where it was like, ooh, yes, what's happening there?
The question I have was, you know, with the dad, so the dad, he's like, oh, the dad finds them all, and he's like, I know the way out, follow me, and he brings them to the rock.
Yeah.
Touch the rock, you'll find everything. And it's like, Tobin had already touched it. Remember, remember he brought the brother there the first night, and he was like, oh
Tobin did, that Tobin did.
Yes, that Tobin did.
But the other time, Loop Tobin didn't. It's all very, very,
that's intertwined. The kind of thing. Yeah, but like, I'm like, well, okay.
Where's the other kid?
Yeah, where's that Tobin?
He didn't die.
There only seems to be one version of the dad who seems to be killing everybody else, you know what I mean?
How about, and I'm sorry now, we're not really following a structure here.
It's hard to follow a structure in this movie, though, really. Like.
Yes, it's a very unstructured movie. But how about, like, basically, it was very much, I was for the first 45 minutes to possibly an hour where I was like, oh, yeah, okay, oh, okay, what's that, what's this? And then it went a bit over the hill. It went a bit too crazy there for about not even the last 20 minutes, but for like 20 minutes before the last 20 minutes.
So like when the dad brings them to, and I loved when they're walking along, he's like, hey, the midnight special.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, bit of CCR, then like, shine a light on me. But when he brings them and he's like touching it, and he almost becomes like a fanatical religious guy, and I was like, ooh, that's interesting, you know what I mean? Like they're throwing that in as well,
and someone else is about to touch it, his wife says no, don't, and that's when he really gets all like,
the brother was about to touch it,
yeah,
and then he's like, I was giving you the soft touch, give me the heart. And then they find out, so he, this is the part actually I kind of forgot about until then, like he kills his wife by like squishing her head
and my god,
like
in front of their kid as well. He's squishing the dad is squishing the mother's
just
face.
Grab her right hand in front and make her touch it, like.
Like, Jesus Christ, that was a proper, like, where I was like, oh, okay.
But like, I was like, does The Rock give him supernatural powers? You know, like, he wouldn't be able to do that normally. Yeah, okay. But then they run off and they find the building.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when I was like, okay, you know.
What are we doing here?
I thought we couldn't get out of the grass. Where's this building? You know, I know they they saw. And then they're like, I did like the bit where they're like, oh, there's the hole. That's the when they're the two lads are on top. So Travis and the brother are on the top of the building, because they've already had it at this point where it was like, you want to fuck your sister, essentially. Like, and so Travis and the brother are on the top, and Travis almost falls and the brother catches him, and I was watching, I was like, oh shit, like, because I knew he was gonna let go, and just like I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, he's fine, he's coming out, you know, he's on the way or whatever. Like, so
what happened to the brother then? So did he actually touch the rock?
But it was like he could hear the grass when he was holding them. It was like Lost, almost like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
He could hear the grass, and it was almost like the grass had affected him.
Hypnotized him or something.
And dropped, because it did seem to be like affecting the sister as well. She kept having all these visions.
The scene with the grass men where they came.
Now we're talking.
This was the part where I was like, lol.
No, I like this part. Did you? I like this part.
They were like, their face was like a swirl of grass.
Yeah.
Their arms instead of hair had grass.
The idea, I think, was supposed to be like they're indigenous.
But you never see them again. Who are they?
They're on the rock. The pictures of them is on the rock. Because like they bring her, and then it, like, when she's...
They kill the baby or whatever.
When she's lying on the ground, you see, like, on the rock, it's like a picture of carrying a woman, and then, you know, all this stuff happening. Yeah. Like, the baby. So then, when the ground opens up, I had to like pause it and rewind it, because I was like, is that a load of babies in the ground?
Was it babies? I thought it was adults.
Was it? Okay.
I think so.
I couldn't.
But like half of them were dead, like, and skeletons, and then the other half were still moving around.
I was like, I hope it's not a bunch of babies that have died that early, you know, that she's given birth 100 times and the babies are down there. Yeah. Like,
I tell you what, this movie took a lot of big swings. I'll say that.
The biggest swing it takes, at this point, Patrick Wilson has killed the brother, he's killed the sister. Travis is not dead yet. He fell off the building and kind of has been injured. And then she jammed the key in his eye.
Yeah.
Which was fucking deadly.
That was good.
When she did that. Like, so then she gives birth. When the grass men bring her back to the rock. And she's given birth, and then the brother is back alive all of a sudden, and he's like feeding her grass.
Yeah.
Very sensually feeding her grass. But then it turns out that it's Patrick Wilson feeding her parts of herself?
Was it the baby?
I wasn't sure if it was the baby or if it was parts of herself.
I thought it was the baby at the start, to be honest.
Because she
said it
feels like me.
Yes, but maybe it was just one of her time loop dead bodies or something. You know what I mean?
I got the impression that it was either the baby that she had, or, which is fucking a mad sentence to say, that, like, you know, or it was a piece of her flesh that was open after giving birth that he was like feeding to her. She seemed to be enjoying that food though. Like, he was very sensually moaning when she was eating that.
That was the point where I'm like, what the fuck is going on now? I was like, okay, like, I'm here for mess with your mind, but this is a little too messing with my mind.
But then Tobin is there. He's like, my dad killed the baby. He's watching us.
Yeah.
And like, I think he knocks down, I can't even remember the girl's name. He knocks her down and he's like about to like bring Tobin to the rock.
Yeah.
And then Travis shows up and they have a bit of a fight.
There's been a few times, about four times in this movie, someone was about to touch the rock. Yeah. And Scott interrupted, like, wait.
But my whole thing was, I was thinking that it was like, maybe if you touch the rock, you'll have a different reaction than this mad joke.
I'd be curious. I'd be considering touching the rock, to be honest. If I was
like, it might find me the way out. Like, and maybe I'm not going to be as weird as this guy, that I can just walk out of here. Like,
it's a big gamble, though, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm strong. I'm made of stronger stuff than Russ or Ross or whatever his name was. Real estate's the game. So he gets stabbed.
Yeah.
By Ross, and do you know what he used to stab him? I thought it was pretty fucking cool. So what? He reaches into like the muck and pulls out like a bone, a skeleton bone.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Stabs him in the stomach. That was pretty fucking cool. Like,
yeah, that was cool actually.
And
apparently the grass that they were shooting with, it was a different kind than they were originally going to. And this type of grass was like a little bit serrated, so. Ooh. The first couple of days or whatever, running through it and all that, they did get a bit cut up and all, they were saying.
And I want to actually go back a little bit, just because you're talking about the grass. The scenes where your one is having the, like, hallucinations about being in the grass and, you know, the grass is turning red and it's kind of like a weird music video or something. I thought that was pretty fucking cool. Like, I liked
that's
it.
Probably where that manga,
that's what I'm thinking, yeah,
artist,
yeah,
guy came in. Yeah.
I enjoyed that. But anyway, at the end she blinds Ross and then Travis is able to like attack him and choke him to death with the grass.
Yeah,
but she ends up dying from her injuries. So then Travis touches the rock.
He touches the rock because it's the only way he'll know how to get out. Otherwise, they'll never get out.
Yes.
So he sacrifices himself, essentially.
And gets Tobin out. And he says to Tobin, you have to stop the other two
from getting in. Yeah. And
otherwise, the loop will repeat itself over and over and over.
Yeah. So kind of then at the end, you're back to the start where they're hearing Tobin's voice. And Tobin
shows up from the church.
This Tobin runs out from the church like, wait, and all this, like. And then she decides she was going to, and it was kind of, they kind of tidied that up with the fact that the baby died initially, where it was like, she was going to give up the baby.
Yeah, because Travis asked her to get an abortion, apparently. We never see that. And then she was going to give it up anyway.
Yeah. Then at the end, Tobin basically, they essentially adopt Tobin or something, it seems like. I mean, let's take him back.
You know? They're going to take him to the police
station. He's not sure.
He's going to take him to the police station, though. Like,
all right.
Yeah, and I did like how they showed that, like, Travis is the reason that Tobin and his family get it. Like, they're, like, pulled off to the side of the road.
Yeah.
The family and the dog ran in, and like that energy that Patrick Wilson was given, where he's like if his mother ever would just act like a mother and look out, and like what's this guy's deal before he even gets into the grass?
I know.
Like,
he was probably the best thing in the about the movie, and it was well acted and it was well shot. I would say if I was to give a summary of the movie, I would say it's not the best movie ever, but it had loads of moments that made me go, ooh.
You know what it reminds me of?
Yeah.
And a bunch of Netflix titles that I haven't even watched, but I look at the thumbnail for. It reminds you of the kind of horror section in Extravision, where you're like, what's this film I've never heard of? Like, people made this movie? You know, like,
yeah.
And I'm like, I'm glad there's a modern day version of this going
horror
on.
Horror B movie almost.
Yeah, you know, it got
pretty panned.
Yeah, I looked at the rating on IMDb, it was like 5.4. Like,
yeah, it got like a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes, and you know, if that's nothing to go by these days. But I was kind of thinking when
I was happy,
I was watching it, I was thinking when it got a bit crazy there at the end, I was like, this might lose Terry now. And I didn't know if it would have hooked you before.
Actually, my attention, I wasn't on my phone really at all.
Yeah.
Throughout this, my attention was kind of in it the whole time.
Excellent.
I liked, like I say, the premise had me enough, and the acting was capable enough that, like, I wasn't ever taken out of it. Like,
that's the key,
I was cackling at points with what Patrick Wilson was doing. You know, like, I was like, yeah, okay. Like, you know, gleefully being like, you know, at one point he's chasing somebody through the
grass.
Yeah, and he's running after somebody, and then he just like takes a left and then appears out of nowhere, and he's like, you should have went right instead of going left. And, no, you did go left before, and all this, like, like, what?
Yeah.
This guy, because it's so funny that it's like, it's just a fucking dad is the bad guy in this movie. And
who happens to have touched the rock.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what?
What is the rock? Is it an alien? Is it a...
It seems, I think, I thought it was like going to be like a meteor or something, but it seems like it's something to do with, like, you know, ancient Indian burial ground, which is a lot of Stephen King's stuff.
Right.
It has to do with ancient Indian burial ground.
He must be fucking loaded.
And he is one of, if not the most prolific writer of books in history. And just speaking of, I watched a movie.
Here we go.
No, but it relates to Stephen King.
Yeah.
It's a movie. It was a John Carpenter movie, and it's probably the last good movie he made. It was like 95. It's called In the Mouth of Madness.
Uh-huh.
You would fucking love this film, right? And I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I gave 4.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
In the Mouth of Madness.
And the whole thing is Sam Neill, your boy, Sam Neill. He plays like a claims investigator who...
visits a small town while looking into the disappearance of a successful author of horror novels, begins to question his sanity, like it already, as the lines between reality and fiction seem to blur. Informally, the film is the third installment of what Carpenter refers to as his apocalypse trilogy, preceded by The Thing and Prince of Darkness.
Huh. So,
interesting.
It's really fucking good, Andy. Like,
is even interesting.
I was like, whoa, like, what is going on? Like, he is hired to go find... But anyway, the whole thing is that Sutter Kane is the author. And it's like, he's bigger than Stephen King. You know, it's like a Stephen King type... thing. Right. He's like, he's you know, he's a billion dollar bestseller and all that. Like, and I was like, thinking to myself, I was like, it's so funny that, like, Stephen King became the kind of celebrity author that people are making movies or using him as a kind of premise for a movie and a jumping off point. Like, I think you would love this movie.
Okay.
There's parts in it where literally they're driving along a kind of like road, like in this movie, and then all of a sudden they're like they were on a bridge and the bridge is gone, and that you're kind of looking out, and then it's like
cool,
a load of like flashing lights, somebody, like weird people cycling by them on like a bicycle and all. Fucking,
he is very prolific though, King, isn't he? Like, he's very pretty consistent.
Apparently it was like, The Shining. Shining was the dude that was about his alcoholism. Apparently, he's like a load of cocaine to kind of like, and you can.
He obviously puts himself a lot in his stories.
Yeah, like, and you can see with like some of the adaptations are good.
Yeah,
and some of them are not so good, and like. I think this one is okay. This, like I say, this one, it wouldn't be like, I think The Shining is the high mark. And the ones that are more, like, he hates The Shining. He hates it. But like something like The Shawshank or The Green Mile.
Yeah, The Green Mile he did.
Yeah, again, that's a novella, short story.
Wow.
Like, those two are...
Nailed it.
Some of the most successful adaptations.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Even though they mightn't have been... huge successes at the time, like now everybody knows them, loves them.
Yeah,
like Shawshank Redemption is number one on IMDb's top 250.
Shawshank.
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy.
Did the Mist? Did you ever see The Mist?
Yes, I have seen The Mist.
Good movie. Yeah. Good movie.
What would you give this one now out of 10 in the tall grass?
I would give it an old 6.5.
Oh, okay, nice. You know? I gave it a 7. I wonder if this show is going to have the ratings reversed.
Look,
I'll be higher than you.
6.5. Like, it could have easily been a 7. You know what I mean? I had a lot of fun with this movie. Not great. Perfect. It's by no means a classic. But if you're listening to the podcast and you're watching along, you won't have a bad time. I don't think.
Yeah, I think so. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's
fun.
Like an hour 40 as well.
It's perfect. So you get you in, get you out.
Well,
not like next week.
What have we got coming up next week? What's next on
next week is Da 5 Bloods, a Spike Lee joint. First pick.
Da 5 Bloods. And let me check the length. 2 hours, 34 minutes. You motherfucker, Terry.
I have reasons, Andy.
What are they?
I want to see if Netflix has been trying to get into the Oscar game for years. Trying to win Oscars. Trying to win Best Pictures.
Is this an Oscar?
This was touted to be an Oscar play and got 0 nominations, I believe. I'll have more info next week on it. But I want to see if they're any use.
Okay.
So I picked, I think 6 that have been nominated or in the round the Oscar talk.
Okay.
Prestige-y, shall we say, movies that they made. So,
Da 5 Bloods. Okay. Well, that's what's coming up next.
Yeah.
Next week, folks.
So, at the moment, the top of the charts is In the Tall Grass.
In the Tall Grass.
Number 1 with a bullet.
Should we get our plugs in, Terry?
Sure. Why don't you tell the good folks where they can find us, Andy?
Well, things... looks out to window. Things are a little bit different now. We have new addresses.
Ooh.
And can I remember them off the top of my head? You betcha. We got on Twitter, it's at WSGAPod.
Ooh.
So what's so great about pod? And you'll find
right
us
off the tongue.
Yeah, WSGAPod. And you can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Podcast. Haven't changed the email address over yet, so
still,
do not email us.
We're still put it in H.
Put it in hpod@gmail.com. All right.
Do email us, folks. Or you know what? You don't even have to. In this day and age, you don't have to email. You can direct message Andy on Twitter or Insta.
Patreon. You know,
yeah, Patreon. Yeah, if you're there. Speaking of.
Yeah.
So the Patreon has all changed now because we're not doing What's So Great About Over There. We're doing it right here. You just listen to it.
Huh? You
idiot.
Just listen to it.
Stupid. But over on the Patreon, we're basically, you get your 4 bonus eps per month for the low, low fee of $5 dues, $4.50 in euros, and of course, we don't know what it is in sterlings.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
I had to make sure there I was getting that right.
You're
is it 4? It's been 2 weeks.
You don't understand
2 weeks.
The conversion.
But over there, this week, you will find we're doing one of our patented Pitch It in H episodes.
So excited.
It's good. It's always fun.
We come up with 3 movie ideas each, and we pitch it to the other person to see if they would give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And it's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other 3 weeks of the month, this month, who knows what we're going to do. We have it in the book. Don't know when we're going to do it. We're going to be doing our commentary. It's going to be back. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Because of the new release of Ghostbusters Afterlife, we're going to be kicking it old school and going with one of Andy's favorite movies of all time.
My favorite.
Oh, his favorite. Yeah. Ghostbusters. I'm excited to revisit
this
one.
The Ridge.
What are you doing to your mustache there?
I'm twirling it, Terry. I'm in a twirly mustache sort of mood now, all right? So, I'll thank you not to call me out about it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Thinking of shaving my head again.
And growing your beard bigger?
Think I need to. Well, the beard is kind of big.
Your hair's not that long, Andy. It's not long at all, actually. Well, beard.
No, but I'm thinking of like shaving it. I think I pulled it off the last time. I know you said I don't, but I think I do. I think
I'm
you're
just
wrong.
Saying,
there.
If you keep doing it, it'll never grow back.
Keep shaving it.
Yeah.
I think I need to get ahead of the story, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Andy.
You know what I'm talking about. We're not all blessed with the luscious head of hair that you've got there.
This whole thing.
Perfect line across the forehead. Yours doesn't go back at the sides. Nice, perfect line right there. All right.
I'll give it about 18 months.
12 if you're lucky.
If you can't afford... there's loads of other good stuff going on the Patreon. We are going to be maybe doing a radio show soon as well. That'll probably incorporate a Q&A. If you got the Q's, we got the A's. Let me tell you that right now.
Big time. That's what we should do. We should make the radio show like an actual Q&A, sending questions before Agony Aunt or Uncle.
Yeah.
Something. Brilliant. Let us solve your problems and play you nice music.
Absolutely. Sounds fantastic. And there'll be other top fives and stuff, all of our bonus eps. If you're a Patreon member already, you know all the good stuff goes down over there.
Uh-huh.
And if you cannot afford the $5, well, you can do something else for me. Okay?
I know jump off a cliff.
I know times are tough. I know, you know, it's a pandemic out there. It seems to get worse rather than getting better these days.
Well,
but
this is it.
Uh-huh, isn't it? but you can give me a rating or review. Now, Andy.
Yes?
Did you know that I got this movie confused with a different Stephen King adaptation?
Yeah.
1922. Now, if you add the 1 and the 9 and divide it by 1 of the 2s, that gives you 5, and that is the number of star review that I need from you good people out there. Yes, it was a long walk, but we got there in the end, folks.
That was excellent. I like that. I thought you were going nowhere, and
that
you pulled it back.
Literally off the top of my dome there.
Very nice. Yeah. Nice quick math there as well.
Spitballing. I was flailing.
Well, you got there, Terry.
And if you've made it this far, towards the end of the episode, well, you're doing the Lord's work as per usual, and I want to say a big thank you. And also, Andy has something to say to you. Say it.
I love you.
There you go.
I love you, Terry.
No,
Terry.
Not me. The fans.
What I was also going to say is thank you if you've joined us on this new journey. Or I'm waving hi to your lovely wife.
Bye, Faye.
Hello.
You can't stay. No, sorry.
You hear how he... Oh, egg! She's destroyed egg! Doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Thank you very much if you've hopped on over on this adventure with us.
We are very excited.
We don't even really quite know what it... Well, we know what it is, but you know what I mean. We're going to just keep doing the things that we like to do, and we hope that
I literally have 5 more series after this plan.
May God have mercy on us all.
So, thanks so much, everybody, for listening to our maiden episode of the What's So Great About podcast. No longer put it in H. And we will see you next week for Da 5 Bloods.
Take us out, whoever I chose.
That's got to be Creed, isn't it?
Well, you wake up in the morning. You hear the work bell ring. And I march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever loving light on me. Yonder come Miss Rosie, how in the world did you know? By the way she wears an apron to see the governor, she wants to free her man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special midnight.